Hello, dear listeners. Welcome to Dismantling Justice, the podcast of Envision Freedom Fund, formerly Brooklyn Community Bail Fund, where we offer insight and analysis from our community members, allies, and colleagues about issues affecting folks who encounter the racist, unjust criminal, legal, and immigration systems, and the work that we're all doing to fight for transformative change. I'm Carl Hammond Lipscomb, Executive Director of Envision Freedom, and I'm here with Saleh Israel, the creator and producer of this podcast, and Envision Freedom's Director of Special Initiatives.
Hello, 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 everyone. Thanks for joining us. I am Saleh Israel, Envision Freedom Fund's Director of Special Initiatives. Carl is not with us this week. This week, we're going to do another round of our In Case You Missed It. We're going to basically share with you a conversation from one of our IG lives. Today we're going to listen to a conversation between Envision Freedom Fund's Mustafa Jumali, who is going to be joined by Amaha Kasa, the executive director and founder of the African Communities Together. They're going to discuss how bond companies harm immigrant New Yorkers and how New York can take the lead and lead the way forward through the Break the Shackles campaign. So without further ado, we'll jump right into that conversation.
Well, thank you so much, Amaha, for joining us. And thanks everyone else who has joined us. My name is Mustafa Jumali with Envision Freedom Fund. Envision Freedom Fund is formerly known as the Brooklyn Community Bail Fund. And a lot of our work is at the intersection of immigration and criminalization. And so today we're going to be talking about the Break the Shackles campaign that Envision Freedom co-anchors with ACT. And I want to welcome Amaha Kasa, who's the executive director of ACT. Amaha, maybe you can tell us a little bit about ACT and your role there, and then we can get into the coalition.
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks for having me, Mustafa and Envision. So I'm the executive director of African Communities Together. ACT is an organization of immigrants from Africa and their families. We've been working since 2012. We do both direct services, a lot of immigration legal services, a lot of community outreach and education, and then also organizing, advocacy, and campaigns. We co-chair, along with Envision Freedom Fund, the Break the Shackles campaign and coalition.
Wonderful. And Amaha, why don't you tell us a little bit about the Break the Shackles coalition and the bill? Before you do that, can you tell us how ACT started working on this issue and became
acquired? Absolutely. Yep. So I think our engagement with this issue stretches back several years, about 4 or 5 years now, where we see a lot of African immigrants who are recently released from immigration detention. They tend to be folks who are seeking asylum, exercising their legal right to seek asylum. Some come through the southern border of the U.S. and, you know, find themselves here in New York or in D.C., where we also have offices. Because they have friends or family here. Some land at JFK Airport when they make their intention to seek asylum known, they find themselves in immigration detention. And for some of them, they spend, you know, 3, 6, 9 months or more in immigration detention while their case is winding its way through the immigration legal system. And if they're lucky, and if they happen to connect with a good immigration lawyer or legal service agency while they're inside, maybe they get a chance to post a bond and be released from immigration detention. But even once that happens, their problems are just beginning in many cases, because those bonds, which one are used far too often, right? We've seen it get worse and worse in recent years, that, you know, the overwhelming majority of people are required to post a bond in order to get out of immigration detention instead of just being released on their own, on their own recognizance. And we've seen really abuse of the bond system and and neglect of the right to parole without bond. But even in cases where people are allowed to post a bond, those bonds can be $3,000, $5,000, $10,000. We've seen $15,000 and $30,000bonds. And most people, most Americans, don't have that kind of cash lying around. And certainly immigrants seeking asylum from Africa generally don't have access to those kinds of resources. Now, as far as the federal government is concerned, they just care that you post that cash and that you show up to your hearings. But what happens is people desperate, seeking for that cash to post a bond, end up finding for-profit commercial immigration bond companies. So these are companies, the best known of them is Libre by Nexus, but there are other companies like Action Immigration Bonds. And they step in and they say, we'll post your bond. They actually are not posting the bond themselves. They're often working with a third-party bond company. And they will say, we'll post your bond. You got to pay 20% down. You've got to pay us hundreds of dollars each month, you know, $425, $450 a month. And, you know, worst of all, you have to wear this electronic shackle, this monitoring device, during the whole time that your case is proceeding. And we're talking about 2 years, 3 years or more, where people are wearing these intrusive, it's truly assaulting people's dignity. These shackles around their ankles so that, you know, essentially this private company can enforce its loan. If you have a car loan or a house loan, somebody doesn't get to monitor your location, 24/7, and you know, with its intrusive device. But if you're posting an immigration bond, that is how it works. So we learned about this issue and we became committed to engaging on this issue because people were coming to us fresh out of detention. They were rolling up their ankles and showing us a bulky electronic monitoring device on their ankle. Sometimes they would roll up both of the both pant legs, and they would have one device from a private company on one leg, and then they would have another device from ICE through ICE's program, ISAP, on the other. And so they were being double monitored, which was just it's almost comical if it weren't so horrible. So we became committed to trying to address this issue. And the more we learned about corrupt and unregulated this industry is, the more committed we grew to changing it. So we first started working on it through a coalition that we co-convened called the City of Refuge Coalition, that was working on refugee issues, and including asylum and detained asylum seekers. And then that over time evolved, particularly when we joined forces with Envision Freedom Fund, and became what is today the Break the Shackles Coalition, which is putting forth this bill, Stop the Immigration Bond Abuse Act.
Yeah, it's quite mind-boggling that, immigrants are required to pay in New York, as you said, sometimes up to $15,000 in a bond. Like, who has $600 in their account, you know? Especially with this economic crisis that we're facing and the lack of support for many immigrant communities from the federal government and the state government. So it's just...
Exactly. And if you're talking about people who are, you know, recently arrived asylum seekers, they often don't have the right to work legally, right? They, you know, maybe they'll get it after a year or more of their case dragging through the courts. But, you know, somebody's fresh out of immigration detention, no right to work legally, no funds. And instead of worrying about how they can support themselves, maybe some support their families still back home, present their case for their legal right to asylum, they're worrying about servicing the debt from these predatory companies.
And can you talk about any individual stories of how it's impacted some of your members?
Yeah, I mean, we've heard, stories from, there was a family in New Jersey that was picked up. They were on their way to work, and they ended up in immigration detention in protracted proceedings. They had a $30,000 between the two of them, $30,000 in immigration bonds is what they had to post in order to be released. Mm-hmm. This company Libre stepped in and said, they would take over the bond. They would post the bond. They ended up paying $3,000 up front, and then for several years, posting every month, they had to make payments of $450 each. So $900 a month, effectively, on this bond. And this dragged on for multiple years to the point where they had. They had paid more than the original value of the bond. And what most people don't realize is almost all of that is direct fees and charges from the company. Mm-hmm. It's not going towards the principal of the bond, except maybe that initial down payment. So if they do everything right, they win their case, they're granted asylum, they're released. At the end, those literally tens of thousands of dollars will still be gone forever. They'll go directly into the company, the pockets of this private company. And meanwhile, they've spent years wearing these, intrusive monitoring devices. They've spent years, having to account for their whereabouts at all times. They have gotten conflicting and misleading information about the contracts they sign. Mm-hmm. And this family happens to, speak English relatively well. They still don't understand the contracts they sign. Imagine for people who, English is a second language. These contracts are not translated. They're not explained to people in any language that they understand. And so it's really, people are hard sold. They're given conflicting information about what it would take to pay off their bond. They're told, oh yeah, you were having a special. This was the language that was used to them. We're having a special, as if it were like, a department store. Mm-hmm. You can pay off your bond in this amount. And then when they go to pay that amount, they raise that money. Then they're told, oh no, actually that was a special. It's gone. You owe, $5,000. Mm-hmm. Those are the kinds of abuses we've seen. We've also heard stories about people who there's a number of states have sued these companies, these private immigration bond providers, especially Libre by Nexus. And we've heard stories about people who were pregnant and their ankles were swollen, and so they had to have this monitoring device, this shackle, cut off of them. And the company attempted to collect hundreds of dollars from them in replacement costs, even though there was a medical emergency. So it's really an industry that's just rife with abuses, and very few places have reined it in. And so we want to be one of the first in New York to kind of rein in this industry and say, you don't get to do whatever you want just because these are vulnerable immigrants.
Yeah. Can you talk about also the emotional and social impact of wearing an ankle monitor? Because I've encountered many folks in the community who have ankle monitors, and they've struggled, looking for work. They struggled looking for housing. The landlord looks at the ankle monitor and, assumes all these things.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, so, I think the association that is set up with people who are wearing monitoring devices is, this person is some kind of dangerous criminal and danger to themselves and to people around them. When in fact we know both in the immigration sphere and in the criminal legal sphere, increasingly, governments, are using this, using electronic monitors, electronic ankle shackles, as a sort of prison in place or a jail in place where they're sort of outsourcing and decentralizing, incarceration. And so, where whether it's for what we hear from people who have to wear these devices is, first of all, they're physically cumbersome. You know, you're wearing something around 24/7. You have to figure out how you're gonna shower. When you shower, you have to figure out how to deal with it. We hear from Muslim community members, I don't want to go to prayers because when I kneel to pray, it becomes visible and I am ashamed. It's a stigma. It's like a scarlet letter, that we put on people, for the privilege of being released from detention. So there's a strong cost to it. And again, this is what our advocacy and our bill addresses is the use of these by private corporations, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have the jurisdiction in New York State to say that the federal government or ICE can't put these on people. But we do have the jurisdiction to say, why would you get to do this in order to enforce essentially a private loan? There's really no other sector where that's something that you would be able to do. And as far as the federal government's concerned, they just care to show up to your hearing at the end of the day. And most people, the overwhelming majority of immigrants, especially those who have legal representation, do show up. So this is really something that they're using to secure their financial obligation to get paid. While electronic monitors are the worst manifestations of this, we're also concerned about the shift to other kinds of surveillance devices. As there's been pushback against these practices, people are like, oh, well, we're going to do smart surveillance or smart and have it be on people's phones, So a phone might be less intrusive, might be less stigmatizing than an ankle monitor. But when you think about the concerns about how our technology is tracking us, is recording our personal information, is selling our personal information, mm-hmm. And we think about how vulnerable people are, forcing people into, forfeiting any right of privacy, through a powerful computer like their smartphone, it also raises real concerns. And so we basically think that electronic surveillance should not be any part of immigration bonds.
Exactly. And can you talk about the bill a little bit, Amaha? How will it regulate these predatory private immigration bond companies?
Yep. So the bill... that we're working on with Envision Freedom Fund and the over 40 members of the Break the Shackles Coalition, which includes racial justice organizations, civil liberties organizations, anti-incarceration organizations, it's called the Stop Immigrant Bond Abuse Act, or SIMBA for short, Stop Immigration Bond Abuse Act. It's sponsored in the Senate by Senator Jamal Bailey, in the Assembly by Assembly Member Harvey Epstein, and it would do three or four different things. The first thing is that it would cap fees. New York has made some modest, reforms, not as much as we'd like to see, but still progress in terms of reining in the bail bond industry and capping, maximum bail bonds. And so this would say, the rates you can't charge people $450 a month in fees. Mm-hmm. You can't charge people, more than the amount of their original bond. So it would just get rid of some of the profiteering Of on vulnerable immigrants. The second thing that it would do is it would simply end the practice of electronic surveillance connected to immigration bonds, commercial immigration bonds, or I mean any immigration bonds, but the where it's happening is with these for-profit commercial immigration bond providers. Just say you don't get to do that. That's not part of immigration bond contract for somebody being released from detention. The third thing it would do is essentially say immigration bond companies, like bail bond companies, like other insurance providers, right? You know, this is all sort of in the insurance sector, are regulated. They're regulated by the insurance commissioner, by the state's Department of Finance, Financial Services. We think they're already under the jurisdiction, and you know, I think the state of New York also thinks they're already under their jurisdiction. But because this is a relatively new industry, a new sector, there's not a lot of specific regulations, and so in that, in those, you know, kind of loopholes and ambiguities, that's where a lot of these abuses have happened. So this would just make it very clear that immigration bond companies are just like any other bond company and have to comply with the same laws. And so, you know, it's modest in some ways, but it would actually make New York a leader in regulating this industry. Other states have sued and gotten some changes to these practices. So California, for example, sued Libre by Nexus, and that ended up in a settlement where they agreed not to use any electronic monitoring in California. They stopped their use of ankle shackles in the state. Virginia has sued. There's been a lawsuit by the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the Federal Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, which New York and several other states, the attorneys general, have joined there. We think that we need a legislative response as well. We think New York can lead the way, other states can follow. And ultimately, though, we do need to change these practices all the way up to the federal level, because the root cause, the real solution, is let immigrants out of detention. Mm-hmm. And that's what the federal government, that can only really be done by the federal government and ICE and, you know, the federal immigration courts. Let people out of detention without bond. Until that happens, we can, you know, make sure that people are not released in a way that keeps them in shackles of debt and surveillance and indignity, even once they've been released from detention.
Right. And, you know, a lot of folks reach out to us to see if we could support them. As you know, we pay immigration bonds for folks, but oftentimes we're unable to help because they've already signed a contract and they're already, you know, they've already been duped, basically, by Libre. And, you know, based on some research that we've been looking into, there are about 2,000 or so people impacted in New York, you know, by these practices.
That's right. Thousands of immigrant New Yorkers. And then, you know, you look at neighboring states like New Jersey, you know, you look at other, you know, places at the, close to the southern border. We still have a massive immigration detention problem. Mm-hmm. And then coupled with that, we have essentially a sort of cancerous industry that has grown up on the failures of, the failures and the abuses of our immigration detention system.
Absolutely. And so what is the likelihood of this bill getting traction this session?
Well, we're very optimistic. I mean, we've got two great sponsors, as I said, Senator Bailey in the state Senate and Assemblymember Epstein in the Assembly. I think that there's recognition by the state of New York that they need to address this, that, you know, there's, you know, New York has been in litigation. The Attorney General's office has been in litigation against, particularly Libre by Nexus. Trying to get even basic information about how many New Yorkers are affected by their business practices. And, you know, it's only, you know, you have to squeeze, they've had to squeeze that information out of them in court and in litigation. So there's a recognition that there's a problem and there's a need to act. I think that we've had positive political response. you know, I think our biggest challenge is raising awareness about this issue. You know, immigration detention is not an issue where there's a lot of, you know, sort of, you know, folks who aren't paying close attention, who know about the issues and are familiar with how this works, unless you've been touched by it personally. You know, it might be, you know, sort of an exotic issue to you. There's a lot of education that we're doing, you know, sort of public facing stuff like this is really critical to raise awareness of the problem. We need people to contact their assembly members and state senators and encourage them to sign on and join as co-sponsors of the bill. I think the hardest thing will really be just breaking through. You know, it's we still have a bit of a political logjam, partly after years of COVID, you know, new governor. So there's a lot of issues on the agenda, and just making sure that this rises to the top is going to be our biggest political challenge. But we're optimistic.
Absolutely. And it's so necessary, you know, to protect people from organizations like Libre by Nexus. And I was going to just ask you also, like, how can folks uplift the campaign? Where can they sign on to join the coalition or to sign on as an individual supporter?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, we'll drop some links in the chat. There's the Break the Shackles website, and the Break the Shackles website has links where people can join as individual endorsers or as organizational supporters. You know, you can see in the chat right now, there's the Break the Shackles, hashtag Break the Shackles NY hashtag that people can tweet. We can, you know, you can thank the sponsors, you know, tweet at the sponsors and thank them. You can tweet at your assembly member and your senator and ask them to join. If we could also, we'll also drop the, well, actually, if you go to the website, breaktheshackles.org, you can, it has links to the text of the bills. And you can read the text of the bills yourself. We can, if we get a chance, if we can drop in the chat the bill numbers, you know, I can, there's, it's just a lot of numerals. It's hard to remember. So it's AO's 77770, I think, in the assembly. But we'll drop that in the chat so that people can, and it is on the link to the Break the Shackles website.
Yeah. And, you know, this week is a week of action for us. And so our comms teams have been putting out some really amazing infographics about the bill and some stories. So go to either ACT or Envision Freedom's Instagram or Twitter and check out some of those posts as well.
Absolutely. And ACT is on all platforms is essentially Africans with an S, AFRICANS. U.S. as in Africans in the U.S. And so that you can find us there on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, all the platforms. Well, we're not on TikTok yet. You know, maybe we'll get there. I'm, as you can see from my technical difficulties, we're, you know, like we have a great comms team and they know this stuff. I'm a little more middle aged, and so I'm a little bit on the social media learning curve. You know, I'll lean on allies like you, Mustafa, to help us get there.
Yeah, and do folks have any questions that you have for either myself or Amaha? Feel free to drop it in the chat. Amaha, do you have any final words at all about the coalition or about the bill or the significance of this work?
I would just say that I think this is a really exciting opportunity for New York to be a leader on addressing a really you know, neglected but critical part of the fight against incarceration and detention for profit. We've seen really vigorous and strong movements emerge to get rid of cash bail for in the criminal legal system, to get rid of prisons for profit, to get rid of immigration detention centers for profit, and those are like three corners of the issue. We think the fourth corner really is profiteering from detained immigrants and profiteering from immigration detention through for-profit commercial bail bonds. We really want to see, in the first instance, immigrants released without bond on their own recognizance. And where that's not possible, we want to see not-for-profit, mission-driven, community-based bail bond providers like Envision Freedom Fund who are helping people instead of exploiting them. And we think that this would be a very good step towards getting rid of some of the worst abuses and moving in a more you know, sort of humane and dignified direction.
Absolutely. Yeah, and you know, there's been a lot of movement in New York and New Jersey in terms of shutting down facilities, and hopefully, you know, hopefully this adds to that movement as well.
Absolutely. Yep. We need to tackle it on all levels. We need to tackle it, you know, where we have power, whether that's cities and states, as well as federal. And so this is, again, as we said, you know, New York can't empty the immigration detention centers, can't release people from immigration detention. You know, what they can do is stop exploitation and abuse by immigration bond companies happening in their state, and also, you know, and make it possible for people to have more humane alternatives, like nonprofit bonds, where people aren't just released on their own, you know, on their own without having to post a bond.
Exactly. Well, thank you so much, Amaha, for joining us for this short conversation about the Break the Shackles campaign. And if folks have any interest in joining the campaign, I pinned the tweet from ACT or the comment from ACT. Feel free to go to our website, breaktheshackles.org, or feel free to send us direct messages on Envision Freedom's Instagram or ACT's Instagram. So.
Thanks, Mustafa, and thanks to everyone for joining. Thanks for rolling with us through those initial technical hiccups. And we look forward to breaking the shackles together.
Goodbye.
Dismantling Injustice is a project of Envision Freedom Fund. Our creator is Saleh Israel. Our producer is Michael Bray, and I'm Carl Hammett-Lipscomb. To learn more about our work or to donate, visit us online at envisionfreedom.org or follow us on social media.